Welcome back to episode two or part two of this three-part Heal Your Thyroid mini-series. I'm Natalie Douglas, which again, hopefully you know by now if you've landed on this podcast or on this MP3 recording. And today I'm going to be diving into a topic that is such a common one that comes across in clinic, on Instagram, during thyroid assessment calls all of the time. And that is, we are chatting about why the heck you can't lose weight despite your best efforts. So I'd actually like to start this podcast with a bit of a story. It's actually a very common story with a lot of my thyroid rescue program members and clients. So Emily, let's just call her Emily, name change for privacy, of course, reached out to me about a year ago now during one of my thyroid rescue launches, and she asked if we could have a chat before she signed up because she was feeling a bit nervous about signing herself up to another program and spending more money on trying to fix her weight issues when she'd felt that everything prior had been unsuccessful or short-lived. So when I got on the phone with her, she shared with me that she'd tried a number of diets already, keto, gluten-free, dairy-free, Weight Watchers, vegan, Atkins, and done a few juice cleansers and detoxes in her time too. She'd also done more gym challenges with 1,200 calorie meal plans than she could count on one hand, and each time she'd put everything she had into it. She was the person who would follow everything down to a T, and yet she seemed to always wind up with little to no change or a slight change in her body composition, but at her wit's end trying to keep up with the schedule of it all in real life. She was feeling ripped off and frustrated that people around her putting far less effort in were seeing far more return on their investment. She just didn't get it. She would cry to her husband about it, and while he wanted to be supportive, he also couldn't understand why her body was so stubborn. Em also felt the sting of, unfortunately, a few personal trainers and practitioners who questioned whether or not she was actually compliant to the plan. Now, this is a woman who described herself as someone who had been on a diet most of her life, who was really active, a go-getter, and also someone who was always there for people when they needed her, carrying the emotional load for people, and putting a fair bit of pressure on herself to be perfect. She had some notable issues and symptoms going on, like bloating, fluid retention, low energy, quite heavy periods, and a history of childhood trauma. I could see how uncomfortable she was in her body, how much how she felt in her body was holding her back from really showing up in her life the way she wanted to. I could see the massive disconnection she had between her mind and her body, and understandably so when she felt so betrayed by it. And I have to say here that I so get this because I have also been almost in the exact same situation. In fact, it was navigating my own health challenges, years of struggle and frustration and dead ends that really lit a fire within me to help other women heal once I found a way that worked for the long term, not just for 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 12 weeks at a time, you know? And anyway, enough about me, I digress. I said to Em, I said, I believe she had been compliant and tried her absolute best in all of these circumstances and situations because I see people like this all of the time and was this person myself. And that I also shared with her that I didn't think the answer laid in doing another gym challenge or another fad diet, but rather really taking time to understand what her body needed from her in order to feel safe enough to let go of the excess weight she was carrying. My teachings focus on getting on your own side and working with your body, not trying to beat it into a certain shape or place. And that I really feel that her symptoms and her history contained so many hints as to where the answers are for her. She cried. I cried. It happens a lot. I'm a crier. You should know that. And she cried because I think she finally felt seen. And I cried because I know what it's like to be in that position. And I also know what is possible for her once she's out the other side. I know many of you listening can relate to at least part of that story. And whether it's with weight loss or something else, I know it can be really hard to feel like, you know, no one gets it. So let's dive a little bit deeper into the most common reasons why weight loss is so hard for some people, particularly with thyroid issues, and also some food swaps and tips you can implement today to help support your thyroid. Before I do, I want to remind you that if you haven't already, to go back and listen to part one of this podcast series while it's still available, because I explained a certain type of thyroid issue that isn't necessarily picked up on blood tests, but that is absolutely relevant to weight loss. Okay, so here's the thing. Thyroid hormones are the drivers of your metabolism, which is the rate at which you burn through energy. Your body's main goal is survival, though. What this means is that it doesn't care what you want to look like at the beach in summer, it just cares about keeping you alive. There is this constant argument about whether or not calories count or not. On one side of the coin, we have the school of thought that calories in equals calories out, i.e. if you want to lose weight, you just need to eat less than you burn and voila, you'll be feeling fun, fresh and flirty in your bikini bod in exactly 4 weeks with washboard abs and a tight ass. Then there is the other school of thought that calories don't count, that as long as you eat real food, you'll be good to go. Just eat paleo, they say. I believe that neither are true, to be honest. That's what years of my experience tells me. It's true that calories do matter and that it is impossible to lose weight without being in a calorie deficit. However, it's also true that the quality of the food you consume matters. Why does it matter? Because it influences how you digest and assimilate nutrients, and nutrients are the building blocks of everything in your body, including your thyroid hormones. So for example, a diet deficient in protein, iron, zinc, iodine, or selenium would not allow for adequate production of your thyroid hormones. And thyroid hormones are needed to support your metabolism amongst many, 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 many other things. What tends to happen, especially with women, is that they actually tend to eat far too little. And this actually negatively impacts the thyroid. Again, it comes back to your body being on your side and trying its best to keep you alive. When your body senses that it doesn't have adequate food coming in, it will downregulate your metabolism or adapt to that amount of food and become as efficient as possible so it can function off the reduced amount of energy or food that it's been given. The more you have dieted in the past, generally speaking, the faster your metabolism will downregulate and adapt because you've trained it to do so. And as females, our bodies also tend to be even more sensitive to stress. And stress includes changes in energy availability, i.e. how much food we eat. And we're like this because we are biologically wired to reproduce. And a body that does not feel safe, i.e. if it's being starved or perceives it's being starved, intuitively knows that it needs to shift into survival mode and conserve energy. And conserving energy equals holding on to body fat. Hopefully this is making sense so far, but a quick recap. So number one, calories do matter, but so does where you get them from. Number two, if your body is underfed for long periods of time, it will adapt and reduce your metabolism by downregulating its thyroid hormone production to keep you alive and safe. And number three is that as females, our body is more sensitive to changes in energy availability or food intake. Now, it also happens in males, but I know that the large majority of people listening to this do have a vagina, are female, so that's why I'm speaking a little bit more to that. But if you're a man listening, it still applies to you. Okay, let's move forward with this a little bit more. So why is it difficult for some people to lose weight? Well, there are generally two overarching reasons in my experience that I see and treat all of the time. Number one is that you're under-eating and your metabolism has adapted down to meet this, and you realistically can't sustainably keep dropping your intake lower or increasing your exercise because it's unsustainable. And the second thing is that your thyroid is underactive, or the thyroid hormones you are producing aren't getting into the cells where they need to be in order to do their job and in order to function in the way that you need them to. And usually that's due to stress or inflammation. And this underactive thyroid or inability to use your thyroid hormones can be driven from what I just mentioned in point one as well. or it can also be driven from nutrient deficiencies, autoimmunity like active Hashimoto's, stresses in your body or life. So this could be that you've got gut issues, oral health issues, poor blood sugar or insulin control, a high heavy metal load, exposure to mold, food intolerances, sleep apnea, a high viral load, or an overactive nervous system driven from undealt with traumas, or generally a generally high stress load, which some of us label as busyness. The way I approach weight loss with my clients and program members is that I work to understand why the body is feeling like it needs to enter survival mode or hold on to energy stores, i.e. stored body fat. And I want to know things like, do you have the building blocks to make thyroid hormones? Is there any autoimmunity that has been missed? And a fun fact here is that it commonly is. So sometimes autoimmunity, which is when the body is essentially attacking itself, it can be brewing up to 10 years before it's diagnosed. And I spoke about this briefly in the previous podcast. So again, jump back and listen to that one before it disappears if you haven't already. And then the other thing I want to know is which stresses from the ones I mentioned just before are relevant to you and your life. And then we actually get to work on helping your body heal, feel safe, feel nourished, because from this place you create a foundation where the process of letting go of excess weight is easier and is actually working with your body to improve your health, which also improves your symptoms at the same time. And this matters a lot because you cannot heal a body you hate. Let that sink in for a moment. You cannot heal a body you hate. And because the healthier we can get you in the process, the easier it is to maintain your results and also understand what your body needs when life happens and things go out of balance a little bit again. A lot of what we do in thyroid rescue when it comes to food is driven by three key principles that really support everything that I've been talking about so far. Number one is we're aiming to reduce inflammation. Number two is that we're aiming to maximize nutrient density. And number three is that we're aiming to support digestion by food choices and also correct meal timing and how we eat. And I've created a beautiful, delicious meal plan and recipes to support this exact process and get consistent feedback about how much people love the recipes in the program. So it's by no means quote unquote diet food. And we also speak a lot about, as I mentioned just before, how to eat and meal timing and whether or not intermittent fasting is right for you and a few other strategies that can make a massive difference to getting you results that actually stick around. As part of my gift to you in running this podcast series, I wanted to share three really simple food swaps you can implement or make ASAP to help support your thyroid. So the first one is to include at least a palm size of protein. So that would equate to about 25 to 30 grams of protein. So not of food, but of actual protein in that food at breakfast. So this could come from eggs if you tolerate them, leftover animal protein from dinner, smoked salmon, collagen powder, and can be topped up with lower protein sources to fill in the gaps like nuts and seeds. The reason why doing this is so beneficial is that it stabilizes your blood sugar throughout the day, and having stable blood sugar levels helps to avoid unnecessary stress on the body. It also helps you feel fuller for longer, be able to tune into your hunger levels better throughout the day, and find it easier to avoid mid-morning snacking. Number two is avoid drinking water within 30 minutes before and up to 1 hour after your meal. So the reason why this is so important is because you can't possibly digest properly if you dilute your stomach acid and digestive enzymes. So when someone has an underactive thyroid, they are also more likely to have low stomach acid already. So if we then go diluting it more, we're in trouble. And a small amount, like less than, I don't know, 200 mils or so, isn't going to make or break you, but don't have any more than that because you will be compromising your digestion and assimilation of nutrients, which does affect your thyroid and other things in your body as well. Number three, which might seem super obvious, but I'm going to put it out there anyway, is take out all sugar. Yes, including dates. I'm looking at you, Bliss Balls. Honey, maple syrup, coconut sugar, agave. While it's great that you're choosing these over more processed sources, it's still sugar. And sugar is one of those things when you're trying to heal that is just not on your side. For a lot of people with thyroid issues, you already feel tired, a bit foggy headed, and many of you have some lingering gut symptoms. Sugar is inflammatory, it strips the body of nutrients, it messes with your mood further, and contributes to energy dips throughout the day. It's not at all that you can't ever have any of these things. Of course you can, but if you want to make the process easier and get to a really anti-inflammatory baseline faster, then it's a good step to take. And when it comes to sweetening your food or getting that kind of quote unquote sweet hit somewhere if you need it, I'd suggest anywhere from 2 to 3 whole pieces of fruit per day and using a natural non-sugar sweetener like monk fruit or stevia, which both of which are also completely fine. There are, of course, so many other more tips and strategies, along with helpful recipes, food lists, shopping lists, additional food inspo and conversations that I could go into when it comes to using the right food to support your thyroid and weight loss goals. But we would be here all bloody day, hence why I've packed it all up into a program for you instead. And my invitation to you, if anything I've shared so far has resonated with you, is stop looking for the shortcut or quick fix. Stop practitioner hopping, stop jumping from one gym challenge or detox to the next, stop working against your body and feeling at war with it, stop putting yourself through processes that carry a me versus my body energy, and start asking yourself, how can I nourish myself better? And look for a container of support that digs deep into your unique root causes and that looks at things through a broader lens. As you know, I've created such a container and it's called Thyroid Rescue. And a reminder that you can join us for the next and final live round of Thyroid Rescue for 2021 by clicking the link in the email sent to you where you found this podcast. You guys that are listening are getting first dibs on a spot as a thank you for joining me for this mini podcast series. And I'm also so happy to be offering you a generous $200 discount for the next 48 hours if you do decide to join us. The discount code to access this saving has been emailed to you, and I'd really encourage you not to wait too long to sign up, as once the cart actually goes live in a few days' time, spots will sell out and fill up quickly. And every live round that we have run to date has filled up usually within a few days, and I expect this time to be no different. I also want to remind you at the moment that I'm offering free thyroid assessment calls. It's always a mouthful to say. So if you're not sure if Thyroid Rescue is for you or you just want to have a quick chat about it, then you can actually book a free thyroid assessment call via the link in my Instagram bio or by simply going back again to the email that you've received this podcast link in and clicking on that. I really genuinely hope that you've gotten something out of today's discussion. If you did and you know someone who could benefit from hearing it, then please do share. And I'm really looking forward to diving into part 3 with you very shortly and sharing more over there. Have a wonderful day or night, whatever time it is for you, and I will speak to you soon.